Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out and fire up a grill or a smoker. We've lost most of our snow where we are, and it's starting to feel a little bit more like grilling season when you guys that put your man card away for the winter, it's time to get it out, brush it off with your grill, and get her going. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks for joining us. And it is the weekend, so you got us knuckleheads here to get in your ear and get your smoke rolling for the early morning or the late afternoon. We're going to talk all about jerky and sausage today. And it's just a good time of the year to do something a little different, because maybe you spent your fall traipsing through the woods and you got a few deer in the freezer and you want to pull some out, and your wife's getting sick of steaks or burger or whatever, and you just want to do something different. We're going to help you find a good use for that. Or maybe you just know a guy like Sobe Meats who can turn you on to some nice cuts of meat that you want to turn into sausage. So, Jop, to get this party started properly for jerky and sausage, I thought it was only appropriate to have Mr. Sobe show up with us.
Absolutely. Joining us live in the studio is the master butcher, part of our board of directors. It's Tim Sobe. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
It's so easy to invite him, too, because he comes packing meat. Some of us pack. He packs meat.
Right. Heat, meat. It's close, but it's really different, right? It's That's really right. different. Yeah, I'd see 9 or 10 different cured meats here, sausages and various, and we'll cover most of those.
I think we're going to be hard to understand for part of this show, because we're going to have, you know, like get stuck talking with some jerky or something like that. But I saw him earlier this week. I had I was requested by my work carrier of Great Lakes to perform a barbecue for him, because it's inventory time of year.
Yep.
So everybody's doing inventory. So they said, hey, would you barbecue for us? And I go, of course, because really it means I don't have to count.
Cop out. Right.
So I went and saw Tim. So I went and saw Tim and got some brisket and butts and got all hooked up. And I made him some really cool little meatballs, which we can talk about later. It was just something I saw online that looked kind of cool. It worked out nice. But I did some cornbread with jalapeno, my special little mix of sweeteners in it and stuff, and some cream-style corn, and it was just fantastic. And of course, I had to do bitchin' beans, because
sure,
it wouldn't be a barbecue without them. And I went down to your favorite little bakery and got those nice rolls.
Right.
And I'm telling, made some homemade sauce, and these people, they put on the feed bag. I made twice as much as I should have, and there was none to take home.
Sure. So that means you did it right, right?
Or that they just really wanted free food.
Yeah. You know, this week I've been doing a little media work on behalf of my company as well, is that the West Michigan Home and Garden Show is in town. And it's always like a big kid candy store when you go there for guys that like to do stuff outside or inside their homes, and our friends from Garrett's Appliance are there. And I noticed that they have the latest and greatest Traeger pellet smoker there, and I am jealous. You open this thing up.
Oh, that cast iron one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby. And it's got a big hopper on the side, a full digital control on that thing. The top weighs about 15 pounds. You lift it up, it's like, wow, this is not the Traeger I knew, where the top was a pound and a half. And it's three grates in there, and I'm like, I am itching to take a whack at that thing. But, you know, I'll see if I can get them give me a little show discount at the end. Maybe I'll go up and, like, kick it or something, put a little dent in it so I can get a scratch or dent sale. But, no, seriously, but our friends at Garrett's. Got a great selection down there. And you know what, guys? It's something you could do when you come down to West Michigan if you want to get down here, is hit the Home and Garden Show. It runs through Sunday. It's Saturday morning now, so you got a couple days to do it. You know what? If you're in town, you got to hit Sobey Meats too, right? Because if you get a new grill, what are you going to do with it but put great cuts of meat on
and
it,
make
right?
sure you pick Break up some of in. This hickory jerky, because it is that a new one for you?
Yep.
I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, the other really one good. I was going to bring, I know you really like, is the Hillbilly.
I love it.
And that's actually in the smoker as we speak right now. So,
you know, I was down in Texas last week for work, and that's why we had a best of show. And if you listen to it, thanks for doing that, because we know it's a repeat, but every once in a while, Barbecue Bob and I have to take a little sabbatical and do some real work, make some money rather than this joking around that we do here. And I was down there in Texas, and I had an opportunity to hit three different barbecue joints. And as far away as they were from each other, they were that much different. And I was within 50 miles of myself everywhere I went. But it's just real interesting. I had a brisket that was all seasoned up with a variety of seasonings, and it was okay. But the one I really liked was the salt and pepper one that just let the flavor of that brisket come through. The guys that did the all-season ones had 6 hours on it, so they had fast-cooked it. And the guy that was salt and pepper had 14 hours on it, and he had slow-cooked it. And all that taught me was is there's no right or wrong way to do brisket. These are guys that sell it for a living, right? But there's vastly different ways of preparing that. And the guys that cooked it fast didn't trim it nearly as much as the guys that cooked it slow, because they thought the rendering of the higher heat drew most of the fat off of there, and therefore they didn't feel like they had to trim them as much. I preferred the slow cook one with the salt and pepper. There was just too much going on with the one, and I like that beefy flavor to come through. But Tim, let's talk about briskets real quick, in that because it was classic Texas when I was down there. And when briskets come in, are they all the same? Can you order them different, or are you taking care of them once they come in before they hit your meat counter?
Well, when they come in raw, they're in that whole state, and there's no two cows exactly alike. So they're going to be different, thinner flats, thicker flats, whatever that is. And but there's a brand that we found, Iowa Briskets, are killer. And they are extremely phenomenal because they're a thicker flat on there, which is better. And just get them trimmed down a little bit and trim however much you want. They're good to go. Nice
that's,
marbling.
That's considered a piece of the chuck.
Part of that, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So these briskets, guys, if you haven't cooked one before, there's a little bit of what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit of anatomy that you need to understand, because it's really two muscles connected by this big, huge chunk of fat that runs a vein between them. And what you're trimming is not the meat but the fat, right, Tim?
Correct. Yep. And there's the point and the flat. And the point, which you get burnt ends, those are coming off the point portion of the brisket.
What's your point?
The point is brisket.
Well, we're going to get back into a little jerky and sausage in the next couple segments. We have an interview that Jop did with some guy. What's his name? Sagebrush Zeb?
Is that yeah, no, right? it's interesting. It's called Spike's Hole in the Wall Barbecue, and the only reason it's called Hole in the Wall, somebody drove through the front of their business right after they opened.
And you got to go there because your brother Rick lives down there, and it's one of his favorite places.
Right, Texas Hill Country.
So how do you like Hill Country?
You know what? It's a beautiful part
Isn't
of the
it?
World. There are deer everywhere.
Did you notice the profile on their sauce?
Yeah, I did. I had it, and it was good. It was a little bit smoky. These guys, that I spent the most time with that were doing the interview, go out back and get their mesquite wood right off the property.
Uh-huh.
Right, they're born and raised homeboys in the town where they're at, Kingsland, Texas.
Well, that's all they've got's mesquite.
Right. Yeah. So, but you know, I'm generally not. That's a big bold flavor. And if you oversmoke with that, that's all you taste.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the guys that did the fast cook with the multi seasonings when I was there. Again, wasn't my favorite on the brisket, but I'm going to talk a little bit about after we get to this interview about their chicken and their turkey, because it was unbelievable.
I'll bet you are.
All right. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We'll be right back with you for a little bit of Spike's Barbecue.
Make a move, I better make a move. Somebody else will try to walk up and ask your name right now. Offer to buy you
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, had an opportunity last week to be down in Texas for work, and of course I extended it 3 or 4 days. I got a brother down there, and just great to see your family. If you get a chance to travel for business, you can work that in, man. It's awesome. But while in Texas, as a grilling guy would do, I shot out and hit three different barbecue joints. Talked a little bit about that in the last segment. But the one that I really fell in love with was a place called Spike's Barbecue. It's hole-in-the-wall barbecue. Somebody had driven through their business like a week after they opened, so they renamed it to the Hole-in-the-Wall Barbecue. But at the end of the day, I had an opportunity to sit down with the two owners. And we did a little recorded interview, so stick with us right here and listen to what we had to say about Texas barbecue in Kingsland, Texas.
Well, here I am at Spike's Barbecue in Kingsland, Texas, and I have the pleasure of spending a few minutes here with the two owners. Now, you guys, I got Billy and Hunter here. Now, you guys are family, is that right?
Yep. Brother-in-law.
Yep. Brother-in-law. Did he marry your sister?
He married my sister.
Okay,
yes.
So you let him in the family.
Yes, we did.
Now, how'd you guys come about getting in this business?
Well, it's actually a funny business. I was actually in the restaurant industry for a long time, and then Billy here, he did a lot of Halliburton, I believe.
Oil and gas for years, and then that kind of went south 2 or 3 years ago. And,
yep.
Unemployed, and we were looking for some type of venture to jump into, and we were looking in the area because my wife was wanting to come back home. And so,
oh, nice. So, yeah. So very good. You grew up here?
Yes, I actually grew up in this road for 23, 24 years.
So this is a hometown venture for you guys.
Yes, it is.
That's really cool. That's when they get the best. Now, we are in Kingsland, Texas, which to me, we're about a couple hours north of San Antonio and about an hour west of Austin?
Correct.
Yeah, right in the central of the hill country.
Correct.
Beautiful part of the country here. So my brother lives down here, and there's hundreds of barbecue joints, and I said, I needed to go to the one that you think is the best, and it came right off the tip of his tongue. We got to go to Spike's up in Kingsland. So tell us a little bit about the wonderful meal that I just had, because you guys are doing all the meats. Let's start at the top, and let's hit your brisket,
okay?
Without giving the audience too many of your secrets, how are you seasoning that brisket? Because it was fabulous.
Well, our briskets, we start in the morning, get them prepped up, and we've got a house blend that we get.
It's got a little bit of pepper, white. It's not too spicy in it, but it adds a nice little flair to it. Then we throw on the pit and let it smoke for several hours.
Okay, several.
Several.
Right. There's no disclosure there on how many, but we're just doing several.
Several.
All right.
Between 4 and 8 hours.
Yeah, there you go. And you got that Southern Pride pit over there.
Yep.
That you're using a little bit of gas assist, but it's also stick fired.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what kind of smoke wood are we using?
We're using a mesquite.
Okay, so that mesquite flavor, now up in the north where we're from in Michigan, we don't have access to mesquite other than in a bag that we might get from the store. But this stuff's just from right around here locally, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Only available.
Right. But I'm going to tell you that smoke flavor was not overdone at all. It was a very, very light smoke flavor. We've got a couple ladies with us out there, and they are both really enjoying the flavors that we have. Now, speaking of which, by far on our table, the favorite thing was the turkey and the chicken. So what I'd like to do is you guys tell me what makes your turkey and chicken so special, because I know what I like, but I want to hear from you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What makes it special is juicy. I mean, no matter what time of day you get it, it's going to be juicy. It's going to fall off the bone, and no matter how you eat it, prepare it to eat it, it's going to be juicy. It's going to
now,
be
you're brining this, right? And before we started the interview here, I was needling you a little bit for your brine recipe, but I don't need to know quantities of how much of what you put in there, but just tell everybody what your brine consists of, because I will agree with the ladies that this is some of the best chicken and turkey I've ever had at a barbecue place.
Awesome.
All right, so give our listeners a little tip on what ingredients should be in a brine. They can come here and try to figure it out how much of each, right?
Sure. Well, I'd say for your chicken seasoning, I definitely do some pepper, a little bit of salt in there. Definitely hunt around for some good house seasonings. It's going to take some hit or miss. You'll find stuff you don't really like. We went through that a few times, tried to mix it up. Didn't come out really what we like. But really, it's just hunting around different flavors. I mean, don't be scared to throw different things on there.
And I would note that it was not over-seasoned.
Right.
Everything was just in its proper proportion. Now, when you brine that, how long are you brining the birds for?
It depends. Some, if we're busy, we like to, they don't sit in brine as long. But the ones that we have now, they'll sit in brine for at least a few days, at least.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, so this is not just a few hours, but you're planning ahead.
Yes, yeah, we're planning ahead.
And the birds cut up when it's in the brine, or are they whole?
Yes, we get all trimmed
up. Halves, yeah. So they're cut in half.
Right, very good. All right, then. So there's a tip, because a lot of people brine a whole bird rather than cutting it up. And now you're quartering them. Is that what you're doing?
Right. Yeah, yep. We sell them by the half, and then we'll quarter that down in 4 pieces if you like.
Right, yeah,
and I'd say
very good.
The skin is a pretty big part of it, too. Leave the skin on when you're smoking it.
Okay, when you brine it, and then again when you smoke it. Now,
yes.
When you pull them out of the brine, are you letting them dry, or are you putting them right on the pit wet?
We put them right on the pit wet.
All right. And are you putting additional seasoning on the bird after the brine? The brine does work, huh?
Right. Brine does it. And when it sits on brines, it gets trapped between the actual meat and the skin. So it's sitting there marinating. It doesn't run off anywhere. It just stays in there and cooks inside. So
yeah.
No need to re-season.
Fabulous. Now, let's talk a little bit about the sides, because I'm a big mac and cheese guy. I personally didn't have any because I was focusing on the proteins. But let's talk about your sides. And what do you feel are like the special ones that you have?
I would say probably our best two sides are going to be our potato salad and our beans. Like I said earlier, the beans are made every day fresh in-house. We add our own spices and blends to those. Also add some of our sausage that we get in-house to our beans. So it gives a little bit more character.
Yep, I noticed that. So the beans, what kind of a bean are you using?
They're pinto beans.
Okay, so there's a sauce on those beans. Is that comprised of like chicken stock, or what do you start with on the beans?
Just water.
Just water.
Just water, and we've got a nice blend of different spices that we throw in there each morning. You know, we'll let them soak overnight, and just water.
So, are you draining that soak off, or is that part of the bean broth that's
part
on there?
Part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're capturing all the flavor of the bean, and then we're just going to enhance it a little bit with your seasonings and let her go. But So again, guys, thanks so much for having me here. I appreciate it. Let everybody know, do you guys got a website that people could go to find information about this?
Sure do. It's spikesbbq.com, spikesbbq.com.
Pretty easy. Yep. And we are where? We're in Kingsland, Texas?
Kingsland, Texas.
Right. And you got, so check them out on the web. If you ever get to this part of the beautiful state of Texas, we're up here in the hill country, but I'm telling you, it's worth the trip, you know? Hunter?
I appreciate
Billy?
It.
Thanks, thanks for your time, guys. I really appreciate you making time and your hospitality. Awesome. You got a wonderful joint here, and I hope to be back someday.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
you
it.
You bet.
That Spike's Barbecue, Bob, what I didn't mention on the interview is they had cobbler on the back end of this thing, man. And it was in a big, round skillet, iron skillet, made me think of you. Wasn't a Dutch oven, but it was two big iron skillets. They had a mixed berry one and then, of course, peach that everybody makes. But just an excellent cap off to a really good barbecue meal. Everything there was made homemade, and it was just – you know, if I was ever going to open up a barbecue joint, I'd want it to be like that because you really felt like you were part of their family when you walked in the door. But good
that's,
place.
That's the point. When, when you're traveling around the country, there's great barbecue joints literally now all over the country. But you being in Texas, they've got a deeper history than a lot of places. But you can go in almost any state. You can hear I'm eating jerky.
Yeah.
You can go on almost any state and find cool, old, eclectic places like that. And you got to take the time to just visit them, sit down and get to, you know, talk to the owners, talk to the locals, because there's some tremendous history in some of these places. And very often they have, like, their specific specialty. Like, everybody's known for something.
Theirs was the brined chicken and brined turkey breast.
There you go.
3 days.
Yeah.
You heard it in the interview, but 3 days they brined that. No sugar, all salt-based brine. And they left it, and they said the key is to leave the skin on. They smoke it with the skin on, but they serve it with the skin off because they don't like the rubbery texture of the skin.
Because, see, I think, Tim, if you tell me if I'm right, if you had salt and sugar, wouldn't you over-cure it for 3 days?
Not necessarily. Obviously, it's going to have a sweeter brine taste, but that's whatever flavor of the brine you like.
Okay.
So it's going to take the same amount in if it's, you know, 3 days, salt. No sugar, with sugar, whatever.
Can you brine a rabbit?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
All right.
That's briar rabbit, not brined rabbit. Anyway, coming up next, we are going to dive into Sausage Class 101. Mr. Sobey's got 11 or 12 things here, and we're gonna pick your brain, brother.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Job's gonna take a little break here from this segment because there's nine kinds of sausage and lunch meats here that Sobe Meats puts together, and I'm just gonna eat. Bob, take it away, brother.
All right. Well, I got my feet on the last segment, so thank you very much. Is there something in my teeth?
It's jerky. It's
for later.
So you you have been doing, I think I met you because I was actually doing a sausage and jerky class, and I had to come into you years ago and buy some casings. I don't know if you remember that. You probably don't, but you were in your old building. And I couldn't find anybody in Grand Rapids that had casings. And so you bailed me out.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. It's been a good relationship ever since.
It has been great. Actually, your wife was there the first time. You were running meat around. And so I got to meet her first, and she took care of me. And then I had to go back and pick it up, and that's when I got to meet you. But the first time I walked in your shop, I kind of knew there was some magic going on because you had that small front end and the big pickle barrel, which I loved. And the place was chock full of people. It was not only chock full of people, but that small waiting, you know, had that slim, long counter, and they would just pack in there. They weren't only packed in there, but they were really having fun. They loved being there. So I picked up that mojo, and then I said, okay, this guy knows sausage, blah, blah, blah. I've heard about him anyway. I got to dig more into this. So take it away. We want to learn about making sausage first.
Okay. So, and I don't mind in the least if somebody wants to make sausage, their own venison sausage at home, stop in, pick my brain. I don't mind in the least.
They can buy their supplies there, actually.
Absolutely. All the supplies. And if you have sausage recipes you want to use, I call my down and dirty method. Let's say you're doing a venison sausage. Take a little bit, mix your seasonings in there, make a small little patty in your hand, you know, just a little one, flatten it down. I'm not a microwave cooking guy, but for a sausage, quick, down, and dirty, throw that little patty in the microwave to cook it enough where you can taste it and warm those seasonings up.
Or on a fry pan.
Or on a fry pan, which is better. But at least a real quick way you can say, hey, needs more of this or
really
less
good
of that.
Idea. I did that in your shop.
Yeah,
we did some chicken. You had me try a couple months ago.
Yeah,
you had some ground chicken you were doing that with, and you had several variations. That's actually a really good idea.
And that way, at least the first batch, because that's why a lot of times meat markets and that are so protective of recipes. When you run batch after batch, mm-hmm. you got a lot of time money invested into getting it right. So I would say, you know, to anybody else, if you're going to make it yourself, just make a little bit. Do that one little patty, throw it in the nuker, adjust it, try it again. Now, after you've tweaked it, you're ready for that first run in your smoker, if that's what you're going to do with it. Then get it stuffed out, do the process. You can tweak it again after that, but you'll cut to the chase way quicker with less batches, less time, less product.
That's awesome. So let's talk about grinding the meat and mixes, ratios, because your average guy is going to probably be trying it with venison because it's meat that they have and they want to get rid of it. Like in my house, I'm one of the few that eats it, me and Olivia. And if the boys come home, maybe, but my wife doesn't. My older girls really don't eat it. So I have to consume as much as I can, right?
That's
so
right.
If I make meat sticks or jerky, that's easy to take along and I can get rid of some volume that way.
Yeah.
So how do we do that?
We'll use it like sausages like that. If it's a meat stick, or like a salami or summer sausage, we'll grind two times fine.
Two times.
Yep. And funny that you say that. The one sausage that I brought along, our homemade krakuska or crocky,
which
as it's called.
Really good.
It has a super
It's called
coarse
crack in the meat community, right? If you have it once, you're going to want more of it.
And we'll, we can talk about that again, but that is...
This is like the Muppets where the guy's in the balcony.
Oh, yeah. He's got, we just got called
that
the other day.
No, it wasn't that good.
Yeah, you guys are two old guys in the balcony talking about us, you know?
So do you recommend then cutting your meat into chunks to throw it in a grinder? And we're going to talk about grinders later, but so you'd want to actually mix your chunks of meat. If you're using pork and venison or beef and venison, you'd want to mix those chunks together so you start grinding them together right off the bat.
Sure. The single best tip I would give anybody for a good sausage is the better it's mixed, the better the sausage. So if you were to think of that big batch, 50-pound batch, let's say, you want every bite to taste exactly the same. A lot of guys take shortcuts. So anything sure. you can do to get that better blend, grind the meat together by grinding it twice. Make sure when you mix that up, we'll use a term, and make sure it's oxidized. So when you're mixing it up, if you were to pull hunks of meat apart, it almost looks like fibers.
Okay.
You're pulling it apart kind of a thing. And that's a good, good mix.
So now when you make your kielbasa, is that kielbasa right there?
Yes.
Let me see a bag of that.
Yeah.
I got him to pass me the meat.
Oh, do I need to talk now because you're going to eat?
I fell for that again. I'm so old, slow, and Polish. It ain't funny.
So this is a single grind or double?
That's a single grind. Okay. And we do a coarse grind.
So like brats, your brats are always a single grind.
Yep.
A single coarse grind.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, they do a double fine.
Yep.
It's a way different way to do your meat. It looks different. Actually, taste probably is the same. I don't know why anybody cares either way, but you like the double course for your typical sausage?
A single course for brats.
No, but I'm talking about if the guy was making venison brat or venison sticks.
Meat sticks?
Meat sticks.
Two times fine.
So that's two times fine.
Which, if you were to think, gee, what's fine mean? If you were to look at ground beef, that's two times ground fine. Okay. It would be that consistency.
All right.
Yeah.
So Tim, let me ask a quick question while Bob eats. Mm. Are you putting the seasonings in the first grind, in the second grind? Is it all ground and then you're mixing stuff in? What's that look like to distribute that seasoning evenly?
We do our grind all by itself. After that, then we add our seasonings and mix.
Okay.
So the grind is one operation. Adding seasonings and mixing is the second operation. Can you add seasonings and mix it in your grinder at the same time? Sure you can, but when we're making 35 different sausages in one day, we're keeping the seasonings out of the grinder.
Right. That makes sense.
It's not really cross-contamination, but you're cross-seasoning.
No, but you're gonna leave a flavor behind.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Yep. So you want to, I'll say you leave it in a pure state.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yep.
So when the grind comes out, you've got 50 pounds of it in your kettle. Are you mixing that with a paddle? Are you mixing it by hand? What is there a secret, I guess, to integrating the seasonings into it?
Mixing by hand is fine. Obviously, we're running a lot more production, so we have a mechanical mixer. I just actually got a new one that it does a reverse grind, goes two directions at the same time.
But if a guy's wife has one
only
of those,
in a Polish meat market would you go two ways at the same time?
Yeah, no, the other way we're not going down there. Okay.
So my wife has one of these big mixers, countertop mixers. And I actually have a meat grinder for the front of it. I think Jop got it for me for Christmas.
I did.
The attachment. It is tough on meat, so I'm going to get a bigger one to do bulk sausage. That's good for like veggies and stuff like that. But if you're going to start tearing up a bunch of meat, you got to get something a little bigger. But what that mixer does have is a dough kneading paddle. And I'm thinking you could probably mix your meat up in there with that, just throw it in that bowl and let that big motor turn that around and mix it up thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. You can, and actually before we got our market started and we did venison at the house and sausages ourselves, we hand-mixed everything. There's nothing wrong with hand-mixing. That's how sausage got its start, was hand-mixing. There again, the biggest secret is in the whatever tub you're using to mix it, scrape the corners, scrape the sides, and keep rolling, folding it back in because you want every bite to be evenly mixed. That's the number one secret.
All right.
Nothing wrong with hand-mixing.
Cool.
Coming up next, cut your cheese or grind your own. You listen to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Feeding off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to gibbq.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at repocast.com. That's SAFFIRE at repocast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Cut the cheese in here, man. What's up with that? Oh, wait. It's part of what we're going to do with our sausage next, right? That isn't where it was. I thought that was you, Bob, but good thing I'm across the studio and not sitting next to you. Tim, you okay, man?
Yeah, if nobody's going to claim it, I will.
That is a true man card right there, baby.
There's no dog in here, but somebody's got to have it.
Yeah, and of course, he's just kidding. He's talking about putting cheese in sausage and grinding up cheese and we've all tried it. We've watched people try it. Now there's products you can buy that are already ready for you to do that. But thanks for joining us. It is the Grilling Guys, and it's the sausage and jerky special. We're talking with Tim Sobey from Sobey's Market and Sobey Meats. And if you've never been there, it's the northwest side of Grand Rapids. It's a giant palace full of meat.
Protein heaven, baby.
I mean, men and women love this place.
Yeah. And women, too, the last couple, 3 years getting smokers for Christmas, the women actually have been more excited about smoking meats than the guys.
Really?
It's pretty cool, yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about adding cheese to your blend.
Nothing wrong with cheese in a sausage. If you're going to be doing a sausage on your own, we actually have their real cheese. I don't believe in artificial cheeses. And they're high temp, so they're created to use in a sausage so they won't cream out. So if you're going to just go get a shredded cheese, put it in a sausage and smoke it, you won't see it. It'll turn to cream, it'll mix in, you won't even see it.
The fat will all render and it's just gone. Like this, what I'm eating right here, this is one of my favorites that you have. This is the actual hot stick with cheese. I usually bring home the medium stick with cheese so that everybody can eat them because some people complain about the hot, but that's not really that hot.
Not that hot. It's edible.
Cheese miles it down. So let's talk about grinding your own, okay? And you started off, I mean, you were working for a local company for years and years, and meat was your hobby.
Yep.
What'd you grind it with?
We would just run it through our meat grinder at that time. So the trick is get some meat down through the throat of that grinder.
But, I mean, what kind of grinder did you have as a novice rookie
guy
who liked playing with his meat?
It was an electrical one, small and only had a half-horse motor on it, so it'd take a while to get things through there. But it was a commercial-made grinder, and it was a leftover one from a big market that a guy repaired equipment and they were getting rid of it, and we picked that up and used it for years. Actually, we still have it.
So that was a commercial unit. Job, yeah. You ever grind any?
Yeah, and growing up, my mom had the one that bolted to the countertop, right?
Right.
The Armstrong grinder.
Right.
And that actually was pretty terrible, the product that came out the other end, because you couldn't exert constant force to it. So and I always remember there was those little discs on the end of the thing, is something was being ground up there, and then it was pushed through this little Play-Doh mold, and it came out in these little strings. I don't know as we ever made like cased sausage, and I want to talk about different types of casings in a minute, but it was always just grinding it up,
so
and it came out in a hamburger.
You couldn't keep up with your mom when it came to grinding.
Oh, yeah, she had forearms of steel. Yeah. Believe me, she slapped me side the head with those many times.
I noticed you had a little flinch when you talked about that grinder. Well, it's funny you should say that, because if you look at the show plan,
really,
you'll see the ChopRite number 5. Does that look? Is that,
that's
that
the one, man.
A little bit.
That's the one. We, if you were big enough to, if you were big enough to crank the arm off that thing, you didn't have to use it anymore. But prior to then, sometimes, right, you know, when I was little, you had two hands on thing cranking it around, because there was nothing but Armstrong power on that thing, man.
And you know, I mean, I think everybody had one. My parents had one. My wife's parents had one. Matter of fact, when they moved, they gave theirs to me. So I had my mom's and Maureen's mom's. So I had two of them, and foolishly, I gave them away. Now I want one, because I think it would be a great thing to have, especially the bigger model, so you can do some volume in it. But rather than worry about an electric one and spending $500 for a basic electric, because you can get the cheap electric for $150, but yeah, they're going to suck. They're going to suck.
You're going to burn up.
Yeah. The Chinese junk.
Yeah.
So, but instead, I think one of these old cast American-made manual units, because you don't do that much at a time. If you're a guy like me, you're just doing 5 or 10 pounds,
yeah,
and it give you a good workout. I mean, I need that.
Sure. And another thing that was well known for those, ham was a mainstay years ago.
Yes.
So then you grind that to make that bologna spread, ham spread, yeah, egg salad, things like that that didn't require.
Tim, you have that in your store. That bologna spread or that ham spread,
yeah,
you mixed, what, like pickles in with that? And, oh, dude, man, that is the bomb. I get that from you. I have to admit, on the way home, I open the lid and I eat it with my damn finger. I'm just like, I can't wait to have this.
You should get a box of crackers next time.
Right. Yeah. No, it's just, I like it. I don't want to spoil it with anything, that bologna, that ground up bologna with the pickles, yeah, and
bologna,
I don't know what
salad,
you got in it.
I think,
but
they call it, don't you?
Yeah, bologna spread. And bologna spread. Father Mark calls it Polish caviar.
Yeah. So, no doubt. It's absolutely that good. Hey, one technical question. When you're making these sausages, there's casings that you use. Now, there's natural casings and man-made casings. Why would you use one or the other?
My opinion on our smaller sausages, let's say kielbasa and smaller, we use all natural casings. They have a little bit more snap to them. And then if you're, let's say you're eating a meat stick, I know there are other markets that like to use a collagen casing, and some people say it's too hard to chew. Get to the end and you got this, mm-hmm, you know.
Got to spit it out somewhere.
Got to spit it out someplace, yeah. Now, on our bigger sausage, like our homemade lunch meats, we'll use a fibrous casing on there because we want to peel that casing off so it's not attached to that meat when you slice it and put it on a cracker. Otherwise, all our other sausages is all natural.
Mm-hmm. So another grinder I found was online. It's called the Weston Pro. It's a number 12 electric grinder. It's $490, one horse. Something like that would be like the entry level to a decent one, you think, for a homeowner?
They are, and I'll be honest with you, in town, I mean, you could go to either Kent Butcher Supply or Hobart, and you might spend, let's say $800 or $1,000 on a quality grinder. But if you're going to bone out your own deer, you're already saving the first $100 on that deer,
right,
by not paying processing.
Right.
So 10 deer, kaboom, you just paid for that grinder. Now you have something where you can get parts. You can
get
the plate.
So you think Hobart would be a brand, if you were trying to maybe go to Craigslist or eBay, Hobart would be another good brand?
Yeah, and there are different brands that Kent Butcher Supply has that are American-made.
People around the country and around Michigan are going to go to different places.
Correct.
Let's say they're not here.
Yeah, yep. And but something that's not in a big catalog store, sometimes that's that cheap Chinese stuff that doesn't work very long.
That's advice for a man. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man!
Today's Man Law.
This one makes total sense to a meat guy like Tim. You order a salad instead of steak at a steakhouse. Actually, if you order anything but a steak, you're getting your man card pulled.
Absolutely.
Don't go to a steakhouse and get a salad and not get the steak. Or don't get chicken wings either.
Right.
Because we'll take the skirt right off you and send you out on the street, you little girl.
Hey, so now that I've been a chauvinistic pig, I want to set the record straight. Last week sometime, Jop, you were in Texas, Monday or Tuesday, I don't know, I'm listening to all this news about, you know, everybody's jumping on the NRA and, oh, you know, this ding NRA, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, the news media is going nuts. They're like vultures. The NRA didn't shoot anybody. They just protect our gun rights. So if you're one of those crazed NRA haters, you probably want to turn this show off right now because I'm going to call you out. So I posted something on Facebook and said, we support the NRA. Oh, my gosh. That thing lit up. It was on fire, and it was people were arguing back and forth, and it turned vicious. So I had to delete the post because it wasn't the intention. The intention was to say, we feel sorry that a nutcase got a gun and killed people. That's always a shame. But we firmly support the Second Amendment, and we love the support that the NRA gives us, that we pay for, us members pay for, to protect us from letting gun-grabbing fools destroy one of our amendments, one of our civil rights in this country. So it has nothing to do with as kids getting slaughtered, which was absolutely awful. The system failed. That guy, you know, he was turned into the FBI several times. The police were at his house 19 times. It wasn't the NRA.
Enough said, but you know what? Tragic situation down there. Those kids came back strong this week after being off for 2 weeks, and bless their hearts for embracing this thing and understanding that you know, this guy and this system isn't going to win. We're in this to win it. But we appreciate you listening and tuning in each and every week. You have been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We hope you had a great week and are looking forward to next week. And if you're going to hang with us, we got one more little bonus segment we're going to talk. So thanks for listening. We'll talk with you in a minute.
This is the country boy song. Chew it up, spit it out, crack a cold one and tilt it back. I'm tired of these city boys running their mouth. If the truck gets stuck, we live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. You satisfy.
Back. It is the Grilling Guys. We got a little bonus segment here. Going to fill your belly with just a little more of this sausage talk because I just can't get enough of it. When we get a chance to get the very busy Tim Sobey to sit in the show with us, then you know what? We want to take full advantage of that. Tim, we were talking about during the break a little thing called Kroki, and there's a Polish name for it, which, you know, I'm a Dutch guy, so I don't know what that is.
Krakuska.
Okay. And just tell us a unique part about that, because it's very different than other sausages.
It's really good. Yeah, one, it's super, super lean. It's about 98% lean. And the other thing, most places you won't have a plate to grind at this course, but some of the bigger pieces, I mean, they're probably maybe about a half an inch in diameter. It's solid loin meat. And then there's
it almost
some
looks
fine grind.
Like head cheese, if you remember that.
Yep.
It was gelatin, or but this doesn't have any gelatin. It had all the chunks of stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Which I think is made out of a hog's head. Maybe,
yes,
I
it is.
Know.
Yeah.
This one's a little further back, right?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
almost looks like that, but it's pure meat. There's none of the gelatin.
Right.
None of the junk.
Yep. And a lot of garlic in it, so it's good as a standalone sandwich or on a cracker, or add it to something like Kroki and a roast beef or turkey breast or whatever. you know, a venison loin, whatever that is, you want to add that too. But so part of that, it's a real coarse ground, which kind of flies in the face of what we'd mentioned, doing things fine ground. But it's a killer one.
Almost got like a mosaic to it.
And you pack that in there so tight that when you slice it thin, it almost looks like big chunks of meat, like the size of your thumb almost, were in there because you're getting a cross-section of that thing.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. Very, very flavorful, loaded with garlic. Not one you want to take on your first date, but maybe by the third date she'll appreciate that, right?
Well, if she's not ready for it by the second date, I'd be out shopping again.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget to check us out online. Go to thegrillinguys.com. And if you look at that site, you'll notice there's a couple menu bars at the top with all sorts of features. One of them would be old shows. You can look up any old show, and it's there on an MP3 format. You can download, let's say your friend was a guest on the show or whatever, and you just want to hear, oh, gee, I want to hear that Sobey guy talk about grinding meat again because I didn't get to write down on my dashboard as I was driving. So you can also go to the top right corner, and you'll see a headset, a pair of headphones, and if you click on that, that's how you set up the link to send the show to your device. And then it's a podcast, which are huge now. And we have a lot of people downloading the podcast. So if you can't listen during the weekend and you want to just take us, you know, on your bike ride or whatever and listen to us when you're romancing your wife, that's not a good time to do it. You can listen to the podcast. And then like us on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. And I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. Also, on the right side of our menu, you'll see all sorts of icons. You'll see Sobey Meats there. You'll see Garrett's. You'll see Standale Lumber. You'll see all sorts of sponsors. If you click on that link, it's going to take you right to their current specials. So if you haven't been to Sobey Meats yet, Tim, thanks so much for coming in. You got to go see Tim and his bride down there because they got a heck of a show going.
Give us the address, Tim. Where are you at, man?
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
North side of Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you get here, I'm telling you, it's 90 foot of paradise. Right, it's 90 foot of paradise, beautiful glass case. You can go from fowl and rabbit all the way down to prime beef and everything in between. It's a beautiful sight if you're a grilling guy. So we appreciate you listening every week. Stick with us as we continue to grow and change and move. And we look forward to chatting at you next week. A couple cans on cool and the needle on full in a countryside. Yeah, hot little playlist of your favorite songs. And when I get you climbing up in the cab of this truck, yeah, you know.